It was impromptu. All right. Good morning. Preacher just asked me to get up here and say a few words here. Tell the Lord save me. No, sir. I want to be a blessing, so I ain't going to sing. Jump right into it. Growing up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up in any kind of anything. At best, we were religious. I was raised Seventh-day Adventist. We didn't go to church at all, but when I did go, it was my grandparents, which was about a couple times a year. I was about as mixed up as termite and yo-yo. At a very young age, probably 6, 7 years old, we had Sabbath school, not Sunday school, at Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they go to church on Saturday. And I remember a Sunday school lesson that was about prayer. And at the time, I'd kind of heard my parents talking about some money troubles and various things of that nature. And my mom and dad were at odds a lot growing up. And I thought money would fix it. And so I remember every single night I prayed and asked for money to just appear. And I know, obviously, prayer doesn't quite work that way. But because of that, there was never any kind of doctrinal teaching. And what I learned, about 8 years old, I quit believing that Lord existed. I was pretty much an atheist at 8 years old. I believed that, you know, in going to school and things of that nature, that science was the real thing. Everybody told me evolution was true and that science made more sense and God just wasn't there. As time continued on, Jason's uncle Keith was a friend of my daddy's. He was coming by and was talking to my daddy and everything. And my daddy was just a sot drunk. And we had a good, myself and my brother, we had a good childhood. It just wasn't a Christian childhood. My parents weren't abusive or anything like that. We just lived, you know, good old drunk redneck lifestyle. And Keith was coming by, and over a course of time, he eventually got my dad to come to church. We came here one Sunday for, I believe it was homecoming or something like that. And that was a very odd experience for me to see my dad in church, but we went through all that, and long story short on that end, eventually the preacher came and visited my house, my mom and dad, and I wasn't there. I was at, I had went across the way there to my buddy's house, and I'd come home on the four-wheeler, and he was there, and I remember my mom mentioning that he was coming. I didn't want to be there, so I found somewhere else to be, and I showed up, and he was still there, and I remember the first thought was, can I make it back to Jesse's house before they realize I've heard the four-wheeler? Can I go back? But of course I could, and I came in and spoke to him and everything, and Mom and Dad told me they'd gotten saved. I didn't know what that meant, but things started changing around the house. We started coming to church, and it wasn't very long after that I made a profession of faith, and it was for nothing. I mean, it was just because. And I remember we used to have the old blue and white pews in here, and I remember the Sunday when I realized that I was lost. We used to sit right over there and about where the girls were sitting. And it hit me hard. It just weighed on me. And I knew that my profession of faith was fake. I knew that everything was fake. And nothing had changed in my life. But that was just, you know, one of those things. Well, I pushed it away and pushed it away and kept going on with life. And my thing I was holding on to, well, maybe I'm saved because I'm, you know, my mom is saved. And nothing really changed with her either. So maybe everything's fine. My mom got saved. And in that room right back there. And they come out here and called me to come in there, and I walked in there, and Mama was crying and everything, and they said that she said that she'd gotten saved, and there went my what I was holding on to, my anchor, I guess. And I said, oh, this ain't good. So I kept on for another little while, and we, just for a time frame purposes, we started coming here in 2000, and I had made my profession of faith at the end of 2000. In 2001, in August, I finally gave up running. Lord saved me. I've been here for, 21 years now. I'll be 21 years this year. And growing up here, I mean, a lot of people come and go, but a lot of families hung around. And just as kind of segue off of that, apart from being saved, the Lord has grown me a lot here, shown me a lot. Went through some issues with my dad, and that's a whole other thing, but I had people here to lean on, and I had a pastor who was a father to me. I didn't have much of a father. The Lord's been good, I like to say. Y'all have held my hand through a lot of rough stuff. And he's still faithful. So, amen. All I can say. The Lord's been good. So, thank God for listening. And thank God for being there for me. And God's good. That's all there is to it. So, all right. Hey. Preacher, come tell us something good. Negative.
Better rip up. Sing it again, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look at Matthew chapter 24. We've already heard a good word, amen. That was good. Sing it again. I think this is the part where if you follow the diesel sniffing crowd, you'd say, boy, if that don't get you fire going, your wood's wet, or whatever they say, if that don't touch you, how God saves a sinner, there's something bad wrong with you. And we got the fix for you coming up here in just a second. Matthew chapter 24. As you look in this part of Scripture, we get to the return of Christ and what he's going to say about that, beginning in verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. As we look today in the Word of God, I want to preach to you on the warnings from the Word. Jesus clearly gives two warnings out here. I'm going to cover both of them. They have to do with tomorrow's newspaper. You're going to hear it first here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, today for letting us be alive. God, as we approach this time to look into your Word, Lord, pray Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, thou may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, I pray right now, God, that you'll be with me as I preach and help me. Of the chapter 4, verse 2, help me to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And all this we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. As we look in the Word of God here today about the warnings from the Christ is going to show his men here when they ask, the first warning that Jesus gives out is what the Lord showed them about the foundation of what they're looking at. They come in there bragging on buildings. You'd almost thought he was running around with Gentiles. He says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and disciples came for to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, you got to understand, this temple is not what it was in the Old Testament. They were still bragging on it. And the one thing that bothers a lot of people is if they're not building the building every 2 or 3 years, they think they're not successful in their church. Might I remind you, 3.5 years, he run around with 12. And when the attendance got in the thousands, he held homecoming dinner and had homecoming preaching behind it. But when he had homecoming preaching, 6,000 to 10,000 would depart. We get all out of sorts sometimes. Well, what are we going to do if this one leaves and that leaves? What if the Lord leaves? You ought to think more about that, because there is the chance of Ichabod being wrote on any building anywhere. And it's already been wrote on a lot of them. But I look at that, he said they wanted to brag to him about the temple. Let me get your mind in on this foundation they're working on. They want to brag to him about a building, and he builds planets. I don't think you're going to impress him with a crystal cathedral in the middle of Gaffney, South Carolina. I don't think a $2 million church building in this town being built anywhere, this town anywhere, is going to impress the Lord at all. God bless you. Listen, hey, they started bragging on the foundation to the foundation. They're building on the wrong thing. And a lot of people, that's what they build on. They build on the wrong foundation, the foundation of goodness and greatness and so forth like that. I'm sure you brag on your preacher, which God will give you okay on that one. If you brag on another one, he won't. So you got to keep in mind, though, these are warnings. And the Lord showed them the foundation. And if you'll notice in verse 2, it says, "And Jesus said to them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now I'm fixing to give you something you will not find in any church that's preaching this verse this morning. Go look at that verse again. What's the second word? Do you know that all the modern Bibles change that to he? Well, it might leave out them 17 verses, but it's not doctrinal. How about that word? Is that doctrinal? You had to drive a long way to hear a doctrinal sermon anywhere on this planet. Yep. But they may take that verse out, but it says it in other places. You just took Jesus out of his own book. Yep. He's telling them about the foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Right. What's the problem with that? Well, you claim a literal word-for-word translation, but you're dynamic and you literal word-for-word. Guess what? They both go south right there with one word. Listen, if they take the name of Jesus out and they take the blood out, I'm out. Not my crowd. I found out something over the years. I don't read books about the Bible or read the Bible. And when I see discrepancies like that, you know what makes me think? These people that's doing this are doing it for more than money. There's more to it behind it. Like, you know what's going on in politics, right? There's more to it than you're seeing on the television. When a man sits down and signs his name 24 times on blank paper, salute the Marines. There's more than what you see. I look at this thing about the foundation. I wonder sometimes when people get to look at things, they say, well, it's just a pronoun, a proper pronoun. You just took Jesus out of the Bible. Let's not get around that. You also don't know Greek, and you obviously not too good with English. But I notice that when we take Jesus out, we lose the whole meaning of the thing. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, in a paragraph setting, blah, I understand that, but you took Jesus out of his book. The book says, "And Jesus said." The book says, "And Jesus went." There's your sermon outline right there. Point number one, Jesus went. Number two, Jesus said. Listen to this. I see he walked out of a building out here, and they tried to brag on that building. He told them that building wasn't going to stand. Do you realize in AD 70 that Roman emperor come in there and sent his general in there, I believe it's Titus, and destroyed that very building and leveled it to the ground? Yep. I'm going to tell you something about English I don't understand. This, maybe y'all can help me later, but probably you won't be able to help me because I'm 51 years old. But when we destroy a building and take it to the ground, we call it raising a building. Is that right? I know, but it sounds the same. See, there's always one. But we'll say they raised that building with a different spelling, but it sounds just like raise. Isn't that funny? They still trying to figure out where Jesus was at in verse 2, and they ain't figured it out yet. He said, that building's coming to the ground. The very thing you brag on, I'm going to take it to the ground. I find it odd that when he deals with the foundation, he deals with the foundation of what they're looking at. Do you know if you and I live long enough, we're going to get old, die, and somebody's going to come in here and run this church in the ground? They're going to destroy the Bible Institute by teaching them students to correct the Bible. I hope all of them leave when they do. And they're going to come in here. They're going to try to bring contemporary services in here and try to do everything they can to bring the world in this church. You and I are fighting to keep the world out. It makes people mad that we say that, but you know what? We're still going to do it. And whether they stand up for what's right for them, then they do what they want to. Where are they at? They're just not going to do it here.
That's right.
I'll be friends, help out anybody I can, but when it comes to the sacred things of God, we're going to stick with the old paths just like the Bible says.
Right.
And for these reprobates that will stand up and say, well, what do you mean, old pastor? You talking about Adam? Y'all going to go back to living like Adam? No, you reprobate, God-correcting fool. Listen, what we're going to do is stick with this book, the old-fashioned book, the old book that God's used for over 400 years. What we're going to stick with is hymns written by godly people that are not sodomites that have to give back their Dove Awards when they get caught doing that stuff. We're going to stick with the old paths, even when the world says you can't do that and you must close down and wear a mask while you're sitting at the house. I'm going to tell you something. That thing has divided this country. I put something on Facebook about people that don't wear masks. And people lost their minds. Out of all your medical knowledge and all your scientific knowledge, we come back to one thing. One thing only. Either it does work or it doesn't work. Now, listen, let me make half of this Facebook crowd mad, and this the live crowd on that camera right there. You will never convince me to take a shot when the Massachusetts senator who's had the first and second round of shots was just tested positive for COVID. I'm not convinced. Listen, do you know that stuff costs money? Have y'all figured those tests, they cost money? And to show you how bad China hates America, they've come up with a new test, and they don't test here, they test back there. Yeah, what about that? You know what? I think those people are mocking our country and doing that. But I want to let them know the Lord's coming back. Right. And he's not going to be a communist. Right. No matter how many people in this world buy into that garbage, he's not going to be that. Listen to this. Let's take a look here, verse 3. We see Jesus warned them about the foundation, and now he's going to warn them about the future. It says, and he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, just the disciples. Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world. So, if I could have a private word with you, without the multitude looking in or listening in, what would you say the signs of these things would be? Well, there's three questions, he says. There's when shall these things be, what shall be the sign of thy coming, what's the sign of the end of the world? Fair enough, right? He gives out these answers right here, and the pat answer is to say, well, verses 4 through 14 answer the first question. Verses 15 through around 22 answer the second, and verses 23 to 25 answer the third question. And they miss the first thing. Look at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, here it is, the first sign. The very first one. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? What shall be the sign of the end of the world? First thing he says, what is it? Take heed that no man deceive you. First one. Is that possible to happen? Well, let's look over at 2 Peter chapter 1. Is that possible that somebody could come along and deceive you? Well, see, 2 Peter, we'll deal with that in another couple places of Scripture we're going to look at. Is it possible? I mean, you are the saved. You are God's child. You've been born again. You've got the right Bible and the right church and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You spit white, whatever else you can say with that. 2 Peter chapter 2. Here's a guy that was standing there when Jesus answered them in private. Take heed that no man deceive you. He says, verse 1, but there were false prophets also. Where were they at? Among the people. They weren't out having a tent meeting where you could come in and see signs and wonders. They were right here. He said, there's false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Where at? Right here. Not out there, right here. He says, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Do you get that thing right there? That's something the Lord condemns. A heresy is something that you could basically describe as, for our text here, is somebody who comes in and acts like you but teaches something God has damned to the umpth degree over there. How about that? For all these closet Calvinists around here, he's talking about you. You. Why do I know that? Because when I see somebody say, well, the 5 points, why do I believe in the 5 points of Calvinism? Because they're in Scripture. So are the words, go and do thou likewise after you see suicide in another verse. You make the Bible say anything you want. But I promise you this, if you take the Bible for face value and read the Bible and let God say what he says, you don't fall for all that stuff. Because you realize that man does have a choice in whether he gets saved or lost. Here's where they confuse themselves. Does God know their choice? God knows everything. But God didn't set people out to go to hell. Listen, there's two things in the Bible that'll confuse you and they'll help you at the same time. Everybody in the Old Testament went to paradise, which is in the center of the earth, that Jesus led captivity, captive, so forth, and he died. He took them and his blood to heaven. Now we go to heaven when we die. When all those people got there, there was one guy there. You know who it was? Guy over there in Genesis. What was his name again? The guy that walked with God. If he was not, for God took him. How about that guy's been in heaven the whole time? And the second thing really confused you. The Bible says the appointed man wants to die after this is judgment. Guess what? He never even died. And he will never die. He got taken out of here. Picture and type of the rapture, second coming of the Lord. I get it. But isn't that something? That's the exception that proves the entire rule. And we see a guy like that show up in heaven, all the Old Testament saints getting there, there he was. Well, how did you get here? Well, I was walking with God. He just took me up. Isn't that crazy? Everybody but one guy. Now listen to this. If that ain't bad enough, does God know everything? Sure he does. Do you know how people get confused? It's because the Lord confounds their brain. He does that to them. When you see somebody correcting the Bible and trying to do all this other stuff in religion, those are usually damnable heresies he speaks of right there. There's more. There's thousands of them. The damnable heresy of losing your salvation. You're going to tell me Jesus gives me eternal life and I'm going to take it back? I'm sorry, but if we got in a ring together, he wins. You know why? Not because he's still a 33-year-old man and in perfect shape. No, he's God in that flesh. Right. Listen, you talk about you getting this stuff about this thing. You see these false teachers come in. Where do they come in? Among you. What do they tell you? They take half a Bible verse, take things out of context to prove what they want to believe. You ever wonder why people use modern versions? Here's why. I believe something, and I want to prove it, so I got to have the Bible to help me. This one don't say it, but this one does, so I'm going to use this one for that part. Then on point two over here, I can't say this says that, but what I'm going to do is use this other version on that, and that's how they do it. Yeah. And you know why they do it? They don't read the Bible. They read books about the Bible. Yeah. A fellow taught me when I first got saved, he said, when you're reading a book, keep your Bible there. Mark it. Look at it. If it says it in a book and it's wrong, mark that out and mark out why. Always have your Bible with you. Now watch this. He said they bring in these heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Hello, Jehovah's Witness. Jesus Christ paid for your sins and you say he's a man, that he's not God, that he became God. Guess what? You've got some crowds that agree with that. They're called the New American Standard Bible in John chapter 1, verse 18. They make Jesus a begotten God in the New American Standard, and Jehovah's Bible read exactly like there. How'd that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. They used the exact same Greek text to translate both things, and that one was wrong. Jesus was not a begotten God. He wasn't a begotten theos. He is a begotten Kyrios, a begotten son. Or Lord, I mean, he's a begotten Huey, H-U-I. Listen, he's the begotten son of God. Now watch this. He said they bring on themselves swift destruction. Do you realize in this crowd, Brother Brandon mentions this, do you realize in these crowds when they die, you know what they think happens? Soul sleep. You sleep till Jesus comes. You know what you call that? A damnable heresy. Okay. And the very thing they're saying about it is absolutely wrong. But here's the big problem they run into. When they get into all this stuff, they bring themselves swift destruction. Because it's appointed that a man wants to die. Remember Hebrews 9? But after this, the judgment. A man without Christ dies and faces the judgment of God. He doesn't get annihilated and cease to exist. He faces every sin he's ever done in a judgment. He goes to hell immediately after, because we see in Luke chapter 16, there's a rich man. When he died, he went straight to hell. And listen, he wasn't in a separate state from God. He was on fire, and in this flame, he was tormented, and he wanted one thing, water. Listen, there's a lot of people who miss this stuff. I don't want you to miss it. But when people come in like that right there, they're bringing that on themselves. Don't go with them. It says, even though they're among them, verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. All these people that come out and make these cults, they all come from a Christian church, 99.9% of them. Charles Taz Russell was a Presbyterian. He done chalk drawings on the street, on the sidewalk, about the gospel. He got his mind messed up, thought he knew more than God. He started a cult. They all do that. What was that guy's name? Alexander Campbell, to start Church of Christ. The Baptist churched him for heresy. Are you listening to me? These people got put out. Well, I'll show them. They started their own cult. C-U-L-T, cult.
Yep.
And listen, the crazy thing is, these bunch of Bible correctors would like to lump us in that crowd, but two things. Number one, you didn't throw us out. We left you. For what? Liberalism. We left you behind. They're going south, going liberal. What do we do? We said, we ain't doing that. Number two thing is this. They call us a cult because we believe and practice one Bible. Let me ask you something then. Is your bylaws available to you at your church? They'll say there's a written final authority somewhere in them bylaws. They all say it. Where's yours at? One of them's got to be 100% perfect and right that's available, because God said he had preserve his word from this generation forever. Where's your final authority? If you don't have final authority, you in a mess. Now notice this. Go back up to Matthew chapter 24. We see how these things here, and we get into all that. He said over there in 2 Peter, talk about having covetousness with feigned words and all this other stuff. We get to Matthew chapter 24, and we back over. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. What are they going to deceive you with? Well, let's see what they got. Take heed that no man deceive you. If you look here in verse number 4, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Boy, ain't we got a crowd full of that in this world. I mean, we've had political saviors, religious saviors, and everything else, and they happen not to be him. They're the ones got you and me in the state we're in today. All our false Christs that come along. And he says there in verse number 6, listen to this. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Let's look at that again. For all these things, what things? Wars, rumors of wars, see that you not be troubled. Would you believe that some of these translations leave out all right there? Now we're getting somewhere. Why would they leave out all? They don't want you to believe this text. Here's the problem they run into. They think all this is happening now, and you probably do too. Remember the first thing? Take heed that no man deceive you. He's talking about what's happening in the tribulation. If this is going on in the tribulation, boy, we're getting close, ain't we? So, well, I read such and such a prophecy book. That's where you mess up right there. You need to read Jesus' book on prophecy. It's called Daniel and Revelation in Matthew 24 and 25. He goes against the grain on them. The Herbert W. Armstrong put out a book, America in Prophecy, or the United States in Prophecy. I remember used to have a book called America in Prophecy. Same exact trash, both of them. And I had people stand up and say, well, I don't know if America's in prophecy or not. How about I tell you it is, and you just say, how do you know? Well, there's this thing over in Daniel about an eagle. That lines up with one thing today. Now, he might be tattooed with a communist symbol on him, but he's still there. So what's the communist symbol? It's a mark, and Satan's going to give it to all of them. And it's not going to be a hammer and sickle. It's going to be a 666. The Bible says it. It didn't say it's electronic chip. It's going to be a mark. Why? While men slept, we've seen terrorists planted amongst the wheat. Nobody preaches on this stuff. Do you know that most Christians right now get tattoos after they get saved? After they make their profession, then they go run and do this stuff. Well, preacher, I've got tattoos. I mean, you know how it, if you what you do and you lost is different. I'm talking about people after they get saved do this stupidity. When lost people do it, to me, you're lost, you drink, you do whatever, you fornicate, adultery, what that's a lost man's sin, no doubt. Going against God, not knowing why that is, that's the children of disobedience. That's where you was at when you got yours done. Put it right there. I love mom. You dummy, you don't love your mama. Well, put Susie's name right here. Me and her's going to get married. You come home with a bandage on your arm, and that thing's hurting, probably infected already because, you know. You come home and you say, Susie, let's go out. Let's make a special night. She said, I got something to tell you. Uh-oh. And then you have these that tattoo with two hearts with two names and say, till the end. The end could come next week. You know why? Well, George is coming. He's got a better deal to offer than you got. Yeah, but we're married, so.
Come on.
All these things, all of them. This is tribulation stuff. Here, listen to this. For nation, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and COVID and earthquakes in diverse places. That's a pestilence, right? How about this? How about grids? Any of you, have you ever heard that word before? It's an acronym for gay-related immunodeficiency. Oh, you've never heard of it. That's because the news media said grids is offensive to gay people, and straight people get it too. Go down here to this health department, ask them how many straight people have it. They're going to tell you something's going to blow you right out of the pew. You know what it is? It's 95% sodomites carry that disease, that pestilence. 95%. So you're going to take the 5% and say, well, they get it too. How'd they get it? Well, the husband was a sodomite and didn't tell his wife, and he went and had a relation and come home and give it her. That's how you get that 5%. Back up to verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Watch closely. This is not a trick. He said pestilence is coming. Can you imagine what's going to go ahead of grids? There's more coming. You think this one thing, there's more coming. You want to talk about not being on top of something? How about the Ebola thing that hit America and we hardly even heard about it? Shh, Obama's the president. Don't sound nothing bad. You'll be a racist if you do. How about you already won? You know what people harp on the most? That's what they are. How could that be? Verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. He's talking about the future. Look at this. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you and you shall be hated of all nations for one thing. One thing. Not because you dress right, not because you look right, not because you have the standard core beliefs of the Lord and you know the Bible, but just for his name you'll be dropped. Just for his name. His name alone, nothing but his name. Then he says, verse 10, and then many shall be offended. Boy, you thought that was talking about today? Wait till tribulation time. That's how they're going to get your head, that thing, get it cut off, because you're going to offend them. They're going to tell the police and they're going to arrest you and off with your head. See, friends, you're talking like we're not going to be in the rapture. We'll go. Then God will save 144,000 Jewish male virgins over there. They'll preach the gospel, and the saved people that get saved, they'll have a choice. Keep your mouth shut, get the mark, all that, or you can stand up for what's right. What a choice. He that shall endure the end shall be saved. What a choice. A lot of them ain't going to make it past the, you know, 1 year, much less the whole thing. And listen, you've read over in Revelation 13, all them people that had the mark, you couldn't buy or sell without the mark. Imagine if you ain't got the mark, what you going to do? You going to grow a farm? Guess what? They got helicopters and satellites to see you and say, who is that again? We need to send the UN Army down there to take care of them. Find out, see if they got papers, see if they got that thing. Check them out real good. You think it's bad now? It gets worse. Look at this. Many shall be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. We see in the seeds of that thing sowed right now. All these things. And then verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Has it ever occurred to you during tribulation time a false prophet is going to come on and say, I come in the name of Jesus to pull out the Christians out of hiding, and then when he gets them out of hiding, he's going to have everyone arrested and beheaded. How about that? You think life's tough now, don't you? I all of a sudden don't have any problems. Remember we talked about that church in China, how they get over there and they have to go in private and everything? And that the guy has 23 people is assembling there. 23 people. Have y'all ever been in jail for going to church? Yes. Every hand raised. Why is that? Because they're God haters. You mark this down. Anything that's socialist and communist hates God and tries to pretend like they're atheists. You think you see Bible verses taken out of context? Go read what's on the front of the UN building. Oh, boy. We're a bunch of uncultured swine if we don't know about that, right? The future's coming, and it don't look good right here. By the way, they asked. You ask them, well, how do I look? And they tell you, and you tell you how you really look, and it ain't good. Remember, you ask them. What's your opinion on such and such? And you get mad when they say it, but you ask him. He says about this thing, verse 11, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So do you believe that, preacher? Look around you. Not out there, in here. Has the love of many waxed cold? Has it? Let me tell you something. There are the strangest thing in America right now is the online church. Okay? You know why I come to church? I had a bad morning too. And if you wouldn't have come in behind me, I'd have been the latest one. So what happened? Everything could possibly go wrong. I was sitting over there, and we started singing that first song. What was the name of that song again? Have y'all forgot already? There's power in the blood. I'm going to tell you, we got to play that song. I sat there and I started reading them words, we was playing them. All of a sudden, business started picking up. I come in today feeling like I couldn't preach 2 minutes. Here we are at the 30-minute mark. Are you listening to me? God got to working in my heart on that thing. That ain't the same when you're sitting at the house. If you are disabled and cannot make it, God bless you, I do understand. But when you are able-bodied and you tell me, well, I'm watching online and I color my beard black and you don't even know that? You ain't been watching online. How about that for something? Running into people outside, well, I didn't know you had a beard. I've only had it eight weeks, something like that. And it started coming in looking like I had the mange, so I colored it. Would all be one color? I see some of y'all, this, we ain't praying, we preaching, look up here. What works for the barn, having an old coat of paint on an old barn works for me too, amen. But the crazy part about this is, now listen, is that we get down here and we see the love shall wax cold. How many say would do it? Many. I don't recall how this works out on paper, but I see people having visitors at their church, and for some reason they can't keep them because they've had 1,000 visitors in a year and their church has never grown an inch. You can be a sword of the Lord and brag on visitors and conversions and baptisms all you want to, but when you're doing 1,000 and not one beer joint shuts down, not one. One crack house don't shut down, not one. The only way them places get shut down, the police have to come in and arrest everybody. And as soon as they back out, they back slinging dope again. Yeah. You wonder why these cops get out of sideways on people? I totally understand it. I just wish you'd whip the judge instead of the people who keep doing it over and over. Can I get a witness up in here? I feel the Lord coming on with another one. Look at verse number 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. All right, is that person lost and they make it through it and get saved? How about this? They get to live through the millennial in the body they're in. Their life is saved. No grocery store visits. Can't do that, remember? No mark. Wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said, don't be troubled. Hadn't been saved long. Remember, this happened that trip. Jesus took the church out of the way. God saved them 144,000. We heard the gospel, and now we're saved. What are we going to do with that? Well, somehow or another, you're going to have to feed yourself, help your family, do everything you're supposed to do in 7 years' time with the Antichrist hunting you down the whole time. And God bless you. Listen, these people say, well, I heard they're going to put a chip in that coronavirus vaccine. Listen, don't be as dumb as you look. Those of you that's ever took an anatomy class or in high school, you had a health class and they told you about stuff, anything that's injected in your blood, where does it eventually go? Out. Or it'll get here and stop, and this stops with it. You think about anything metal or plastic put in your bloodstream, in your body, that thing circles around and comes back, it's eventually going to come back to the wrong place. Well, I got my dog chip. Are you a dog? Listen to me. Are you a dog? No, you're not. Then shut up and listen. Quit trying to reason this thing out. You've got the devil after you, and you worried about some kind of stupid chip that you ain't even going to be here for unless you lost. And here's the part about that that's going to blow your mind. If you're lost right now and the rapture happens, you are lost permanently. Well, I'll be looking for the signs. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God said he'll send the people that's left behind a strong delusion. He's talking about people who have heard the gospel, never got saved, and played church, played religion, and now all of a sudden the church is gone. They're still sitting there. God sends that crowd a strong delusion. While you're strongly deluded, your Savior is going to show up. His name is the devil, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. He's going to show up. You're going to say, Master. Just like Judas did to Jesus, Master. You ever notice all them Pharisees, Sadducees kept coming, Master. They were mocking him, not calling him Master. Now listen to this. That strong delusion is going to be there. The love of many shall wax cold. If it's bad now, imagine what it's going to be then. And you're going to see a lot of people hating each other, offended at everything. Boy, we got a plague of that going on. And then the craziest thing is going to happen. God's still going to save a multitude during the tribulation, but you've got to consider this. Out of 7.2 billion people, 1 billion right now are Muslims worldwide. 1 billion right now, 1 billion, probably 1.2 billion by now, are Chinese people in that one country. Number three, there are 1 billion Catholics in this world. You got 4 million more divided amongst everything else, or 4 million. So you got 4 million other churches taken out of here. That won't dent that population. 4 billion people over here, and the church gets raptured out. Listen to this, same book, same Savior. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. So they won't misuse what I'm saying. They're going to get that strong delusion. And the crazy part is, many shall be offended, many shall betray one another, many shall hate one another, many false prophets, many shall be deceived, many shall lose their love for each other during that time. The choice today is simple. Are you going to sit there and try to say, well, I'm seeing these things now, so I know I'm still good and I'm play religion and then play church and maybe I get saved right before the thing happens? You won't know when it happens. You know, and I think the Lord's coming. I thought he's going to come the last 4 years because of one reason. We did not care, and we weren't looking. Now, all of a sudden, you got preachers saying, well, you know, it's prophecy things fulfilling itself. Right? Look at me, all this thing's happening right now. This is tribulation stuff. This is sin, the seed of sin being reaped right now. While men slept, we got tares among the wheat, remember? And we look up and say, well, quit trying to reason with yourself. Saved or lost right now, which one are you? One of the two. There is no being saved. Follow me? Look up 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I think it's the verse I'm wanting. If it's not, I'll tell you when I get there. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. See what people get out of this is right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, that's lost people, foolishness. But unto us which are what? Not being saved, right? But saved. If we're the crowd that's saved, the preaching of the cross is foolish to them that perish, but unto us that which are saved, it is the power of God. Right. What you've got the choice of right now is this. You and I come from the same planet, the same people, the same everything, and we get to something like this and we're divided. Saved or lost. You're either in part one or part two. The preaching of the cross to them that perish, what do they say? Foolishness. I'll work my way to heaven. So who'd be dumb enough to say that? Check my references behind me. I don't want you to believe a thing I say. If you hear a rumor your mother loves you, go check the references. Ready for the references. Pens out, ears open, hearts ready to do what God says. In the NIV, New American Standard, New King James, which is not a New King James, this is one of them others, ESV, Christian Standard Bible, all say being saved. And they make a transaction, a work, a process of it. And they think you got the wrong Bible. Our Bible says S-A-V-E-D, saved. The preaching of the cross is foolish to them. Why? They're still working their way to heaven. But unto us that are being saved, no, we are saved. See, you got to take things in context. And in context with the chapter, and in context with the New Testament, and in context with the Bible, the preaching of the cross is still foolish to them. What are they doing? Got their shirt up and down here, got a stool up here, pants hanging all everywhere, coffee cup sitting there. I'm going to wrap the Bible with you a little bit today. They got a, and they all walk around with a stupid microphone still. Look here. They either got one of these or one of these stupid things right here. Okay? You're not a pilot. Put that thing down. I just want to give you a how-to message to encourage you today. Why don't you preach the Bible? Amen. You'll find out that in saved people, when you preach the Bible and go through books of the Bible, topical messages of the Bible, you help Christians. Yeah. Why'd you say you come to church hunting what? Help. He said it, not me. I got help, wasn't looking for it. I was just mad. Some of you showed up mad today too, didn't you? Had a fuss right there in the parking lot. Sure, the preacher, he's looking. Well, I fuss too, man. Listen, hey, we all get mad sometimes, but listen to this. We get in here around the preaching of the cross. It's foolishness to lost people. Saved people say amen. Amen. Why? That's how we got in. People tried to tell me after I got saved, well, where you as a former drug addict? You'll be able to reach a crowd that blah, 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 blah. Don't that sound good? But if the message is me, they're going to hell. Preaching the cross can get them. It wasn't a drug addict led me to the Lord. It was the preaching of the cross and the Holy Ghost led me there. Right. It was called conviction and then it was called conversion. And right after conversion, it's called complete. There ain't nothing can be added to it. Right. Then there's consent. I got baptized. I got me some baptizing afterwards. They had to show me that in the Bible where you get saved then get baptized. They showed it to me. I went and got in the water. Then I got consecrated after that. I said, Lord, all this is yours. I'm going to give everything to you. And we're not working on a deal. That was the deal. What I didn't know was he already had it. I just had to consent to him so he could consecrate me, get me close. And now that I'm close, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to go around and see if I can bring some conviction on somebody else by preaching the cross. You know what God will do? Take care of all the details. I find it odd that sometimes you preach on things and it's not even the thing the person's wrestling with, but God sure knows how to ring the bell and get back there on them. The warnings are what? The foundation they're building on and what they brag on and the future that's coming after the rapture of the church. all this stuff we look at and all this. Who would say the preaching of the cross is foolishness? Those that are being saved. Tell me again how you believe in eternal security and your Bible says being saved. You don't believe it. You've got some kind of detail that ain't worked out up here yet. Either we believe what we just read or we don't believe it. Either we are saved or we are lost. Now, here's the thing. We sent two guys out to talk to a young man one time about, they said he's doing all this stuff. He's lost. He's got to be lost. He's got every sign of a lost man. Went over to his apartment to talk to him, and listen to what he said. I'm not lost. Why are you doing things a lost man does? But I'm not lost. Before they leave, will you pray for me? Because if you believe that, I want you to pray for me. He's lost. L-O-S-T, lost. Now, here's the thing for you. If people really believe what you just read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, can you imagine this for a second, that you everybody knows to themselves which one's for their life? They either think that preaching the cross is foolishness, or they think it's the power of God. Where'd you learn all that? Right here in this book. Our Savior's telling them about the future. Two events have to happen before it happens. He's got to be crucified and rose from the dead and go up in glory and promise them he's coming back. Number two, he's got to come back. So I thought...